We'll read in Leviticus again, chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 7. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Teachers love metaphors, word pictures, because they teach so briefly and memorably. So, for example, when we might want to describe somebody traveling or moving very quickly, we'll say he went as quick as a flash. Don't say he went at 95.2 miles per hour. We use a word picture. Similarly, when we might want to say somebody's moving very laboriously and slothfully, we don't say he was only moving at 10 steps a minute. We see he was as slow as treacle or molasses or something like that. When in the Bible, God wants to teach about forgiveness, he says that it produces a result that is as white as snow. And when he wants to communicate how high his thoughts are above our thoughts, he doesn't say, my thoughts are 5 million miles higher. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts. So, what would be the best word picture to portray liberty and freedom? Well, there are a number of options, but here Moses, inspired by God, uses the metaphor or the picture or the symbol of a bird flying free, free as a bird. That's the symbol that is used here to describe the exhilaration, the emancipation of a man who had leprosy and was cured from it, which, as we'll see, is symbolic for someone who was a convicted sinner and is now a forgiven sinner, free as a bird. But let's just set this chapter in the context of the book. Leviticus has 2 main emphases. One is on the laws of sacrifices, and the other is on the laws of cleansing or purification. Multiple chapters on both of these, and they're linked. The laws of cleansing and purification were to teach the Israelites that they were unclean, that they were impure, and that they needed a sacrifice. And then, of course, sacrifice produced purity and cleanliness. So the two were linked, the two were connected continually in the minds of the Israelites, because there were continual cleansings and there were continual sacrifices, continual reminders of impurity and continual reminders of God's provision for impurity. And of course here, the focus is primarily on purification, especially that of a leper. We'd like to look this evening then in this chapter at 2 things, 2 word pictures, 2 metaphors if you like. First of all, locked out like a leper, and secondly, free as a bird. Locked out like a leper and free as a bird. Let's look at that first one, locked out like a leper. Let's look at this disease. It's Actually, if you look at the previous chapter, it's 59 verses of describing leprosy. 59 verses. Now, what is this leprosy? There's some debate over it, but it's clear that what's in view here is a range of skin diseases, ranging from not so serious up to the most serious. Maybe things like psoriasis, eczema, all the way up to Hansen's disease, which is what we commonly know as leprosy. And what chapter 13 is all about is distinguishing the lesser skin diseases from the more serious, the ones that are simply things like psoriasis and eczema from things like leprosy, which are so dangerous and damaging. And so having done that separating work, then here in chapter 14, it takes up this serious disease of leprosy, which was it devoured the skin and the muscle and transformed people into hideous, limbless, eyeless, earless figures of the most horrible distortion. So there's a wide range, but the focus is on the most serious here. And secondly, it's a very difficult disease to diagnose. That's why we have 59 verses about trying to separate this terrible infectious disease from others which are not so bad. It needed training. Priests were therefore selected as the inspectors. They were, over the years, they developed an expertise, a knowledge, an awareness of what was acceptable and okay, and others that were questionable and needed time and isolation to examine, and others, like ultimately leprosy, which needed immediate exclusion. So this was an extremely difficult disease to diagnose, especially in its early stages, to differentiate it from the less serious diseases. It was clearly very common as well. Why have all this here and in other places in Scripture if this was just a rare occurrence? No, this was common in these days. It was a widespread, frequent occurrence for people, sadly, to come down with skin diseases, but especially with leprosy. And it's so complex. You go through chapter 13 and you see how intricate. We're down to examining individual hair color in bright spots of certain hues and colors. It's extremely difficult, extremely complex. And of course, this is all put here not just to teach medical facts to the Israelites. Here and elsewhere, it's connected with sin. Not that somebody sinned a particular sin that brought leprosy upon them, but it's used as an illustration, as a symbol, as a metaphor for sin, which, like leprosy, has a range of seriousness and damage. It also is, it's difficult to diagnose. There are many going around here in these days with the early stages of leprosy, and they don't know it. And therefore, they need an expert to come and help them. And similarly, when we think of our sin, there are many, many people, there are some even here in this church, who have serious sin issues and complexes in their lives, and they don't realize it. That's why we must come to God's Word. We must come to church and have the great physician approach us and examine us and put his finger on areas of our lives to show us where we are in serious ill health, where sin is damaging and even destroying us. We need help, but this is not something that comes easily or naturally to us. We are relatively ignorant about how bad sin is and how bad it is in us. We need help. We need the help of God's Word. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to penetrate past the skin and to see into our hearts and to see the areas within that are diseased and that are dying. This is a complex issue. Sin is so deceitful. It's so difficult to spot at times. And our prayer should be as we come here tonight, Lord, come and show me. You know? Well, nobody wants to find out they're a leper, do they? But there's one thing worse, and that's being a leper, not knowing about it. And therefore not knowing you need a remedy. And not seeking a remedy before it may well be too late. So here we have this disease, and it had two consequences. It locked out and it locked in. It locked out the leper and it locked in the leper. It locked out the leper because when a person was diagnosed with leprosy by a priest, then the priest had to announce a sentence of exclusion. It was a judicial sentence. And throughout the Bible, leprosy is associated with God's judicial displeasure, acts of judgment upon sin. You think of Miriam, you remember, who showed great jealousy towards Moses. She was afflicted with leprosy. You think of Gehazi, who deceived and again was afflicted with leprosy by God. You think of Uzziah, the king who usurped the priest's position, again afflicted with leprosy. It's very much associated with God's judgment of exclusion. And this was a sad event, of course. The person comes and he's read chapter 13. And he's going through the symptoms and the colors and the hairs and the scabs and the flakes of skin. And he's trying to figure out, is this me? Is this bad? Is this not so bad? Then he seeks out the priest. The priest comes and he starts examining him. And eventually the priest looks him in the eye and he says, unclean, impure, excluded. A sentence is pronounced to lock him out from the city. This was a very sad occasion. When this happened, the man was to tear his clothes. He was to take off his head covering. And he was to put tie a cloth round here that was to cover his mouth so that no saliva would be coming out of his mouth and infecting others. And all these things also were signs of mourning in the Middle East. This person was basically declared ritually and ceremonially dead, as if he no longer existed in the eyes of the church and the ordinances of God. He was closed out from this. It's no longer for you. You are not allowed in here. You are ritually, ceremonially unclean, dead, excluded. No wonder he was to rip his clothes and to take off his head covering and to go around bowed down. This was a very lonely experience. He wasn't allowed to go home and say cheerio. He was put out straight away, outside the city. And you can imagine what this is like. You're excluded from your friends, you're excluded from your family, you're excluded from the courts of God's house, you're separated from all social and commercial and ecclesiastical relationships. You're walking away to a life of loneliness and separation. This was extremely uncomfortable. He's at home in the morning. He's in his own bed. He's in his own home. He's at his own breakfast table. He's surrounded by all that's familiar and friendly to him. Within hours, he's in the desert. He's outside the city walls, which were so important for protection from people and animals. He's in the desert. He's cast out, excluded. The city gate is locked. The darkness falls. Dust is now his bed and his table and his chair. He hears the howling animals. Locked out. And this is what sin does to us. This is why this was such a vivid, effective metaphor, teaching symbol of what sin does. The consequences of the leprosy of sin does exactly the same thing. It brings God's judicial sentence down upon us. Unclean, excluded, dead. The sentence of death is upon us for our sins. This is something to make us mourn and weep over, groan, grieve. This is a lonely experience when we are convicted of sin. We're on our own, we feel. We are shut out. We sense God's displeasure. It's uncomfortable. That we used to have pleasure in the things of this life, and no longer, even good things, they no longer mean anything to us. We feel shut out, locked out. The walls are between us and God. We're in the darkness, we're in the danger, and we're in the dust. But the leper's not only locked out, he's locked in. He's locked out of all that's good, and he's locked in to a leper colony. Outside every major city in these days, there were groups of lepers that congregated and gathered. The hopes of survival were much greater for these people if they would band together. And they were very much targets and easy prey for robbers and, of course, wild animals as well. So they would build a fire, they would gather around it, and this person really is locked into this community now. That although there's no prison walls and bars and cell doors, he's very much imprisoned, very much shut in. He no longer has a choice. This is his community. He's amongst, as it were, the living dead. And what a miserable experience that must have been. Hideous, even to the eyes. Hideous to the nose. The stench, apparently, of leprosy was horrendous, with dying, corrupting flesh. You're seeing awful things. People's limbs being eaten away, their eyes, their nose, it's just indescribably bad, miserable experience. And it was a very humbling experience too, of course, because there was no respect of persons. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor, if you're powerful or weak, you get leprosy, you're locked out and you're locked in. You are shoved together with all kinds of people from all walks of life. But it was also a very educational experience. You imagine how much was learned in these communities when the Holy Spirit blessed this event, these arrangements. And this was why God did it. He didn't do this to be cruel, to be callous, to be merciless. His plan with both the laws of sacrifice and the laws of purification were plans of grace and plans of good. It was to draw people to himself. He gave sacrifices to picture and to portray and to symbolize the great atoning work of Jesus Christ. He gave these laws of cleansing, these rules of exclusion and of impurity. Again, with an ultimate purpose of grace. And we've got to believe that this indeed happened at times, that in these communities outside the city gates, in the darkness, in the danger, as they gathered together and they pondered, why? Why me? Why us? What's this all about? And of course, we also believe the priests would also be seeking to instruct them. The godly priests amongst the whole cast of priests would be seeking to, as they did with the sacrifices, to point them to their sin and point them to the coming Savior. No doubt there were those who suffered with leprosy who blessed God and thanked God for the day that they were excluded, they were locked out of polite and normal society and locked into this colony of lepers, because this was the place, this was the time, and this was the way that God used to show them themselves, to show that they had a much greater problem than mere physical leprosy that was eating away at their skin and their bones, their muscles. And even for those at home, you imagine, again, the homes that they left behind, the families and the friends, as they gathered that night, where's Dad? Oh, you're not going to believe, son, what happened to Dad. You know, he had that skin thing in his hand. Well, he went to the priest today and he was declared unclean. It looks like he's got leprosy. He's not going to be home again. He's outside. Remember these people we used to see in a distance? We try to sort of avoid them and stay upwind of them. Well, Dad's there tonight. Why, Mom? And the opportunity there for teaching and instruction. Well, we don't understand everything, children, but God's given these laws to try and teach us what we really are and what we're really like and what our most serious problem is. And the priest, no doubt, would also be coming to these homes to counsel and comfort and pastor and to point these people also to what this was all about. Children, it's not only Dad that's unclean. You're unclean. You're impure. You have a spiritual leprosy that's already eating away at your insides. You too are excluded, disconnected, cut off, not physically, but spiritually. You too are in a place of great danger and discomfort if God would show you that. You see how educational an opportunity this was. Oh yes, many, we doubt not, were blessed by Leviticus chapter 13, a chapter we look at and think, what is this in the Bible for? Leviticus 14, why did God put this here? Well, many would thank God for these chapters as they learned far more than medical conditions. They learn their spiritual condition. And we can use this in this educational way too. This is not just old, ancient, dated, cultural information. This is bang up to date to also show us in picture form who we are, where we are, what a state we're in. Locked out and locked in. Locked out of God's favorable presence. Locked out of God's love and locked in to a place of misery, humiliation, danger, discomfort, disease, and death. But there's another metaphor here. Not just locked in and locked out like a leper, but free as a bird. Because what's portrayed for us here is a cleansing that takes place. In verse 2 we read, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing." And now it's not the priest that does the cleansing, it's God that does the cleansing. It's God that does the curing. What's held out here is the prospect that at times God would come into a leper's life and make him whole. We don't know how many times it happened, but again, you'd think it would be relatively common if it's here in a chapter for us. It's not some one-off event that happens every few centuries. We don't know, but we do know that some were obviously cleansed. God wouldn't give redundant laws. What a day. Imagine that leper wakes up one morning and He's in this colony and he's not as red as he was. He'd thought over previous days he was feeling a bit better. And he's beginning to wonder, maybe I'm being healed, maybe I've been cleansed. Well, what's he to do? Well, he's to seek out a priest. We read in verse 2, he shall be brought unto the priest. Not, of course, inside the city. We read here in verse 3, the priest shall go forth out of the camp. Now, we don't know what happens here, whether the leper that was being cleansed was to call out outside the city gate to a priest to come and help, or whether priests made daily visits to these colonies to see if anyone was being cleansed. But here there's clearly some initiative here. He shall be brought to the priest. The priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look. So there's an inspection happening here. There's a meeting. Then there's an inspecting. He shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Try and put yourself in that leper's position again. Here you are, you've got some hope. This could be the end of being locked out and locked in. You're watching the priest's face with every little twitch and movement. You're looking for the priest's shoulders to sag in despair, or maybe brightness and strengthening, giving you hope that he's seeing what you hope he's seeing. The priest shall look. He's inspecting. He's going through chapter 13. He's going through his notes, maybe. He's looking at the beard. He's looking at the hair. He's looking at the face. He's looking at the color of these scabs, if there are any left. He's looking at the color of hair on the skin. And he's beginning to form a judgment. The priest shall look, and behold, if the leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that's to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedarwood and scarlet and hyssop. What a moment. What a moment in that day when the man thought, or the woman thought, or the child thought, I think I'm being healed. And then he or she's brought to the priest, and the priest comes out, and the priest smiles and says, get the birds. And that can only mean one thing. Get the birds. What music that was to that poor leper's ears. The birds. You mean I'm clean? You mean I'm pure? You mean locked out and locked in is over? That I'm being readmitted? That's right. Get the birds. He commands two birds, alive and clean. It's two very small birds, something like a sparrow, probably. Cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. Materials that were often used in cleansing ceremonies. And then he makes a sacrifice here. He takes these two birds, the priest takes these two birds, and he takes the first one and he kills it. And obviously makes some kind of cut in the bird to drain the blood out of it. But of course, there's not very much blood in a little sparrow. And so it's told to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. So fresh water from a fresh spring is put in a container, and the drips of blood from this little bird go in to create a more red, blood red liquid, because some quantity is needed here. Then the next thing that happens is the dead bird is lying there at the side. You've got this vessel, this bowl of blood red water, blood diluted water. And then the priest takes the living bird, we read here, together with the cedarwood, the hyssop, and the scarlet, and he dips them both in the basin, soaks it, and he takes them out. And we read in verse 7, he sprinkles upon the leper that was cleansed seven times with the hyssop and the scarlet and the cedar wood. The leper is usually bowing down as he's sprinkled with this blood. 7 times. He pronounces him clean, it says here. What an announcement that was. And then, the climax of it all. He lets the living bird loose into the field. The priest and the leper stand there. They watch this blood-soaked sparrow soar higher and higher and higher, going left, going right, unrestricted, untrammeled, undirected, just choosing where to go, free, free as a bird, until out of sight, back into its own domain, its own home, its own family, its own terrain, doing whatever it likes, wherever it likes, whenever it likes, free, free as a bird. What's that leper thinking? He's thinking, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. He asks the priest, is that about me? That's about you. I'm that free? You're that free. Here he is soaked in his own, in the blood of that dead bird, and he looks at that little carcass and he says, well, one had to die for me. And then he looks up, doesn't see it anymore. And he thinks, that's my life, freed by the death of another, liberated by sacrificial blood, by substitutionary blood, free. Free as a bird. Now, there was actually another 7 days till he was admitted into the camp again, just to be sure. A few other ceremonies, a number of sacrifices. But this was the moment of freedom, of deliverance. And really, could you think up a better way of illustrating the liberty and the freedom of a saved sinner than this? Than this picture of death and this picture of life, this picture of blood death and this picture of blood life. I mean, we look at birds, don't we, with envy. I was sitting there studying this afternoon. I just looked out and I saw a flock of, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 birds high up, wherever they wanted to go. You know, we're so restricted being bound to this earth. We're physically limited. The earth limits us. It's not so easy for us just to go from here to there. A bird pops over. Quick few flaps of the wing and it's away. It can go left, right, up, down, fast, slow, wherever it wants, free as a bird. This is how God wants us to think of salvation. It's freeing. It's liberating. And I see this leper being an ornithologist from here on in. He's going to appreciate birds in a way that he has never appreciated before. He's going to see birds everywhere. Whereas his eyes would be more or less blind to them. He wouldn't see them. This is unforgettable. It's such a vivid, memorable picture. He's never going to forget this. He's going to be walking to work and he's going to hear a little bird and he's going to watch and say, that's me. He's going to be out in the field and he'll see great birds of prey soaring high. He'll say, that's me too. He'll see little birds gathering around to eat the crumbs off the table and quickly flying away. That's me too. Free, free, free as a bird. Imprisonment over bars. Walls, gates, over. Exclusion, over. What a metaphor, what a vivid picture of salvation. This is what the blood of Jesus Christ accomplishes. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. What this passage and many other passages in the Bible are teaching is that it's sin that causes bondage. It's sin that imprisons. It's sin that pollutes. It's sin that excludes. It's sin that ruins. It's sin that brings us into captivity. Whereas it's salvation that liberates, that restores, that revives, that renews, that gives unprecedented and unparalleled freedom, the freedom to be what God has called us and made us to be, the freedom to be holy, the freedom to be free from sin, and the freedom to be free from guilt, and the freedom to be free from fear, and the freedom to be free from hell and from eternal judgment. Free, free, free as a bird. Please don't look at birds the same way again. Study them, watch them. Ask yourself, do I know anything of that? Envy them. Desire what they've got spiritually. When you're in your yard, when you're out in the field, and you're hunting, you see these birds. Look at them and learn from them. If you're still in bondage, you're still imprisoned, and you're still excluded, you're still a leper, you can become like a bird, free as a bird, through blood sacrifice. The birds, they could only give liberty, freedom within the city and the community and the external, the physical. It couldn't give spiritual freedom. It was to call to spiritual freedom. It was to point towards spiritual freedom. And Jesus comes and he gives that spiritual freedom. Make every bird an opportunity for prayer. Watch them fly. Say, I want to be free. Free, free forever. Free indeed. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we confess that sin has brought so much limitation, so much crushing, so much oppression, so much bondage into our lives. We've chosen it. We've stayed in it. We've refused offers of freedom. And we are still locked out and locked in and locked down. Oh, come, great emancipator, great liberator, and give us bird freedom, that the wings of our souls may soar heavenwards in the power of the blood of Christ, cleansing us from every sin and all our guilt, giving us access, giving us freedom, giving us connection and communion with thyself. O Lord, be among us tonight. Even on our way home, bring little birds across our paths that we may see, and that we may seek to soar with their freedom too. In Jesus' name, amen.